Okay, if you would, real quickly, we're just going to look at a couple of verses. Matthew 13:3. Along the line of what I just shared, you know, the secret to supernatural signs and wonders, guys, in our life, to move in phenomenal power, really is nothing more than rhema words. It's when you hear the voice of the Spirit in your ear and you obey. The Bible says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every rhema word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. When you hear the Lord speak, you can do phenomenal things. And what we've been looking at, Matthew 13:3, is Jesus gives us a parable about this and says there are certain things that hinder you from moving the rhema word. So it's wise to understand what it is that blocks it. The enemy does not want you and I to walk over those walls, right? He doesn't want us to walk through the fear and the intimidation. He wants us to stay hidden and kind of have a head faith, a religion, rather than a power faith, a power dynamic. And so we need to understand it's a warfare. So he gives this amazing parable, Matthew 13:3. You've all heard this before. He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. When he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. The fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell by the stony places where they had not much earth, and they sprung up. But because there was no depth of earth, when the sun was up, it was scorched, they had no root, and they withered. Some fell among thorns, and thorns sprung up, choked them. And other fell into good soil, brought forth fruit 100, 60, and 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Look at verse 20. Now, wait, let me stop there. The parable is about a sower sowing seed. And what I would say, and then he gives an example, and he says, what the seed is the word of God. Now, a lot of us apply this instinctively about first get saved. You know, say, well, that represents when people first hear the gospel. You know, only certain soil is coming. I would submit it has not necessarily at all to do with being first saved. I think it's applicable to that, but I think it's applicable to something the Lord is constantly wanting to feed and speak the word to us. Would y'all believe that? The man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. And so I think the Holy Spirit is always speaking words to us. He, like seed, he's throwing seeds. And it's words of rhema, living words, and it's the context of our everyday. I believe the Holy Ghost is every day speaking to us supernatural words that if we grab a hold of it and let it fall on good soil, we can move in signs and wonders and manifest the kingdom of God here on earth as it is. Okay? And he does that. He speaks to us, but some of us are so kind of set in our ways and so kind of focused on self and me, my, and mine, we're missing divine encounters. Or as it says in Ephesians 2, works that he has preordained for us to walk in. Supernatural encounters with people at work, people at home, people in the relations in your neighborhood, people in your family, wherever. That we miss signs and wonder words, because, rhema words, because we're preoccupied. So I think he gave this parable to say, look, when I sow the word, when the Spirit drops words on you, a lot of times there are other things that are preoccupying your mind and you're not getting it. And he gives three examples of the types of things that keep us from moving in power encounters in supernatural words. And the first one we saw last time, the first one was in verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, then comes the wicked one and catches away what was sown in his heart. This is he which received by the wayside. We looked at that in great depth. That the devil can discern it. If God drops a rhema word and you're clueless and dull and preoccupied and kind of caught up in the flesh and struggling with the sin that doth so easily beset you, and you're always living a shallow life, these rhema words will come and you're totally clueless and the enemy snatches them out of your life because you have no understanding. There's no spiritual wisdom of what's going on, connecting the dots. Like Friday night, I was sharing about how to heal the sick and talked about the enemy will attack you before you go to pray for someone, while you're praying for them and after prayer. And it's really good to see that. We even had a handout. Somebody can have it to recognize when someone have an opportunity to minister to somebody, you're going to come under attack before, in the middle, and after. And just recognize the devil's doing his job. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Anything worth having is going to have a little bit of struggle in it. Am I right? If it comes too easy, what happens? Well, that's why I don't believe in easy believerism. Somebody believes easy, they can fall away easy. You know the difference between the kingdom of God and a cult? What is the difference between the kingdom of the living God and a cult? A cult is real easy to get into and hard to get out of. The kingdom of God ought to be difficult to get into. Count the cost, but easy to get out of. But it's real easy. Give me a cup. When you say, oh, come to Jesus, he loves you. Never fails when I talk about healing. Never talk about healing. Somebody says, oh, come to Jesus on TV. You know, just come to Jesus. Say this little prayer after me. Just say it. Come on, just say it after me. Just accept Jesus in your heart. There, you're saved. You're a Christian. Now, send, you know, call this 800 number and look at our website. Folks, you're not a Christian saying that. Now, it may be, there may be a one, there may be somebody that genuinely was heartfelt and born again. But you know, a lot of those people think this is some little trite phrase. They ain't going to get you born again. That's the exception, not the rule that it will. A lot of people say, well, I'll try Jesus. It's kind of cool. Tried everything else. Kind of out of dope tonight, you know. We ran out of beer. Honey, got another beer? We're all out of beer. Well, I guess I'll try Jesus. Joel's on TV. Lead me a little prayer, y'all. You know? Okay, I accept Jesus. Okay, Jesus, no beer. Will you get me high? So you feel high. Woo-hoo! I'm high on Jesus. Am I right? Try Jesus, man. He's right out the door when you know. Well, look at what we're going to look at today is in verse 20. We're going to look at number 2. Things that squelch rhema words. You ready? Look at verse 20. He that receives seed in the stony places, that's the soil with lots of rocks in it. See, that hears a word and with joy receives it. Because he doesn't have any root in himself. He endures for a little while. But when trouble and persecution arise because of the word, because of the rhema, because of the word from the Lord, by and by he is what? Offended. That's what I want to look at this morning, folks. You know what? Let me read this to you, some of the other versions. Some of the other versions says, he has no root in himself. Another version reads, he has no soil of character. And listen to this. These are the different versions read, when tribulation or persecution comes, he's offended. When affliction or persecution comes, he falls away. When trouble or pain comes, he's filled with doubt. Or when the emotion wears off of the initial encounter and difficulty arrives, he has nothing. You know, scripture says in three places, listen, Isaiah 8, Romans 9, 1 Peter 2, it talks about the stumbling stone and the rock of offense that come because you refuse to obey. Scriptures speak of a rock of offense or a stumbling stone. And unfortunately, I believe the rhema often finds no depth in our life because of offense. That's what it says here in verse 21. By and by, he's offended. Bye-bye, he's offended. Bye-bye. King James says, by and by. Bye-bye. He's offended. And the problem is, if the enemy can't get you, okay, with number one, where you're just kind of spiritually dull, can't connect the dots, then if you are spiritually sharp, he'll get you because you got a lot of rocks in your soul. And the rocks speak of offenses. Just a lot of stones, a lot of stumbling stones, rock of offenses. There's rocks in your life. And if there's offenses in your life, folks, you're not going to be open and in the spirit and am able to move in the powers and signs and wonders. When God opens up an opportunity for you to minister to somebody and you're offended at them because they're reminding you of somebody you've never forgiven over here. It's the very person God wants you to minister to, but there's this anger, this resentment comes up here, bitterness, unforgiveness, judgment, whatever, criticism, and you don't understand that rock of offense is keeping you from being, bringing the kingdom. So you got to learn early, you got to learn well that you're going to be offended. The Bible says in many things we offend all. Jesus even made that comment one place. He says, somewhere in Luke, he says, you know, don't be surprised. No, I just flipped right to it. Isn't that cool when that happens? It is impossible, but that offenses will come. Offense is going to come. As long as you're on this planet and there's these people walking around, you got to be offended. People, place, and things are going to push you by. But you know, if you're ever going to get a hold of rhema words, you're going to have to get past fences. You're going to have to get the past with a place where you got such thin skin that the people, you know, rush against you, get all offended and upset. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? You're offended what I'm saying? Okay, just say this after me. Matthew 18, turn to Matthew 18, 21. I'm going to show you one day. Peter thought he was being a big boy. Peter thought he was being the word is magnanimous. Peter thought he was being really big. Jesus had just given the appeal process. If your brother offends you, go to him. If he doesn't listen to you, take with you two or more. And Peter's hearing about this ordeal. You know, my gosh, got to take one, got to take two. If they don't listen, you got to take the whole church. Finally, thinks, you know, Peter's probably thinking in his head, "Sheesh, that's going to preoccupy all my time, so many people." So he asks us in Matthew 18:21. Peter said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times?" I bet the other guys looked at Peter and went, "Whoa, dude, seven times? You're spiritual." Jesus says, "Peter, I say not to thee seven times, but 70." Jesus had just talked to him about working out fellowship. And Christ said, he said, "Look, if you don't forgive," look at verse 34. "The Lord is wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due. So will my Father do also to you if you from your hearts do not forgive everyone his brother that trespasses." He literally says, if you don't forgive 490 times your brother's offense, you will be tormented. And there's another verse. In fact, look at Luke 17:1.
Whoa, I flipped to that one again.
Dude, this is, I'm telling you, man. Luke 17:1. This is where I was a minute ago. It's the verse I just read. "It's impossible that offenses should come, but woe unto him through whom they come." Look at verse 3. "Take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespass against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And he trespasses against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turns again and says, I repent, you shall forgive him." Okay, y'all ready for me to act this out? Who can I pick on over here? How about sweet little Felicia? Nah, she's had a tough time lately. How about Daryl? Daryl's a big guy, all right? Now, I'm going to kick Daryl. Well, hypothetically. Kick him! Oh, look at his little boy flinch. Okay. And then I said, "Oh, Daryl, I repent of kicking you. Do you forgive me?" A minute later, "Oh, Daryl, I repent of kicking you again. Do you forgive me?" Dude, he didn't make it to number two. He's supposed to work with me. Okay, Daryl's not saved. Now, he's one of those easy believer guys, you know. Can you imagine that? You know what? What is Christ saying? You know what? In reality, it's a lot more than seven times. Because somebody will offend you. Somebody will push your buttons. And it'll come up in your mind far more than seven times. Am I right? I mean, the offense, you're reliving that offense. You ever taken a shower and you have a discussion with somebody that POs you? I mean, you're in the shower. You suddenly realize, I'm in the shower. They're not in there. But you're fighting this phantom. This offense. Folks, it comes up. You know what Christ is saying? Listen, do you get the idea? Let me tell you the key to forgiveness. It's a choice of the will. It's got to be a choice of the will. If you wait till you're warm and fuzzy for the person who really royally did or whatever to you, dude, you may wait a long time. Christ was hanging on the cross, and I know he didn't have warm feelings for those Romans who were gambling for his clothes down there, for crying out loud, and mocking him. And yet, what did he say? Father, what? Forgive them. They know not what they do. It's got to be a choice of the will. And there's only one reason we forgive. The last verse of Ephesians 4 says that we forgive because for Christ's sake, we have been what? Forgiven. And that's really the parable of Matthew 18. When we recognize the enormous offense vertical, we can grant mercy horizontal. When we judge, it's going to come back. But when we grant mercy, it's come back. Folks, it's the greatest truth in Scripture is you've got to learn to forgive. And forgive, and forgive, and forgive, and forgive. In fact, I used to believe, I think it's like a dagger, like a spiritual warfare weapon you carry. You know, and when somebody offends you, you forgive and release them. Forgive, I forgive and release them. Forgive and bless them. Sometimes you have to just do that. Bless them, bless them. Bless those that curse you. Pray for those that despitefully use you and abuse you. You know what? You will stay healthy. You will stay emotionally sound. You'll have a more peaceful life. Christ never said it'd be easy. He didn't say take up your couch. You know what's interesting? Look at the very next verse in verse 5. The apostle said, increase our faith. I mean, that's what they, you know, whoa, man, that's asking a lot. He goes on to give a parable, and the parable is all about humbling yourself. See, the truth is, folks, listen, one of the biggest blockets to rhema word is preoccupation with someone else's offense towards you.
offenses. It's rocks in your garden.
It's stones in your garden. And it prevents the seed from growing because somebody offended me. And the problem is, Christ said, everybody's going to offend you at times.
The key is, are you going to let the thing take root?
You know, it's like birds fly over the head, but you don't have to let them nest in your hair, right?
There's going to be offenses. You just keep short accounts.
Forgive and release. Quickly, let it go. Amen?
Amen?
That's the message, really. The demon is right at your shoulder. He's called the accuser of the brethren, Revelation 12:10. The demon is right there saying, oh, come on, man. He's he this and he that. And you, I tell you, you listen to that poison. In fact, we've talked about that. Bitterness and resentment is really drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. It's really not very wise. I'll show you.
You hurt me so bad. I'll show you. I'm just going to get bitter and resentful and angry for the rest of my life and just be crippled up with arthritis and then up in a nursing home and just stiff and miserable. But there, I showed you.
And the person who did the offense, you know, Lord, I'm scum, forgive me, and try to work it out. And they go off scot-free.
Yeah, you know, I think it was in John Bevere's radio program called Affabel.
One of the characters in that, and they end up on judgment seat in heaven. And the offender got to go to the glory, and the offendee
had to go to hell.
And he said, this isn't right.
But you know what's greater, the offense in the eyes of the Lord, is to not forgive.
And amen. Look at the scripture. Look at the teaching of scripture about this kind of a thing. Last place, guys, in conclusion, Proverbs 19:11. Are y'all hearing me this morning? The teaching is things that squelch rhema words, part two. Part two is rocks in your garden. Lord wants us to clean out our rocks. Amen? The rocks of offense. Pick them out of the garden. Rhema, you know, God may have rhema words, and I really believe the Lord sometimes will send rhema words just to show us there's rocks in your garden.
I don't want to miss a thing the Lord's done.
I was thinking about when I heard that testimony about that guy going to that apartment complex. You know, the buddy of his with the guitar just calling down people. And they were mocking him and everything. And he just out there with his faith. I said, Lord, I'd like to do something like that. Who would like to do something radical like that? Just way out there. You know, God loves you when you're way out on the edge. Joshua, can you believe Joshua saying, son, stay right there in front of everybody?
That's faith, dude.
What if the sun began to set?
It just hung right there in the sky.
All day long, they finished the battle. You know what? Joshua had understood his authority in Christ and his authority in the Lord, and he knew how to exercise it. But you know what? As soon as you think about moving in an exercise of supernatural power, right then, the demon's going to bring an offense in your mind. You're going to remember, well, so-and-so did such-and-such, and they'll probably do it again. And you're sitting there looking at this rock. And the rhema is, the seed's trying to come up, but it's got a rock on it. The Lord says, lean over and pick up the rock. Throw it out the garden and let the seed grow. Last verse, Proverbs 19:11. The discretion of a man defers his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Now, I love King James. It uses the word Passover.
Oh, there we got a relational Passover.
You've heard of a Passover? Proverbs 19:11. It says, it is a man's glory, you don't see it in the other version, but King James says, to pass over a transgression. Folks, I believe it is a maturity to quickly forgive. It is your glory.
Think in your skin a bit,
amen?
Someone's the prickly pears.
Somebody looks at you, you get offended, you wither. You know? No, what you need to do is go, ain't back.
Don't get offended.
Don't get so offended so quickly. Bless them. So I go, like that. You go, hey, good to see you too, dude. Amen. Toughen up a little bit. How many of y'all need toughen up a little bit? A little too thin skin. You know, you're never going to make it. They that suffer, the kingdom of God's going to come with persecution. People are going to persecute you. They're going to mock you. They're going to despise you and speak evil of you and betray you. And so,
I can't make that noise.
Okay, it'll come out on you.
You know, God lets
those things happen because he wants to thicken your skin. Amen? to love your neighbor. You're going to come under attack. Listen, I really want to see signs and wonders and glory, but I tell you what, the enemy's going to hit us in our weak spots. Well, let's pray about that this morning. What we're going to ask the Lord is to show you your rocks, all right? Show you your rocks. Let's pray. Lord, I pray right now that you would show us the rocks and the stones and the pebbles and the whatever it is in our garden, the offense, Lord. Whatever rocks scattered around where this word is trying to come forth. But we're so offended, Lord Jesus, and we've got offense. Lord, I pray right now, bring that to mind. Any rock in the garden, anybody that's offended us and we haven't forgiven them, we haven't released them, here's the key. We have thanks for the fact that they offend us because it's an opportunity to learn how to love. We give thanks in the midst of all things and quit griping about it, because you keep griping about it, folks, you'll keep going round and round that mountain. That rock will just sink deeper. So ask the Lord right now, show him any rock of offense, any stumbling stone in your life. Come, Holy Ghost. Reveal. Speak. Quicken. Discern. Now say this after me. Jesus, I thank you that you've forgiven me, and I certainly didn't deserve it and still don't deserve it. Therefore, I make a choice to forgive, bless, and release the following people that have offended or hurt me, wronged me or slighted me, rejected me or done me wrong. I bless and forgive them right now in Jesus' name. And just say their names to the Lord. Just say their names. Come on. Bring them up to the Lord. You don't have to say them out loud. Just say their names. Whoever it is. Could be your children, your spouse, your co-worker, your boss, your parents, siblings, neighbors, pastor, parishioner, by anybody. Guy at the red light that didn't move fast enough. Just, Lord, forgive him, folks. Make a choice to forgive. Quit drinking the poison of nursing a hurt. You don't need to nurse that thing. Oh, she got that. I'm going to kick it out of bed. Jesus. Lord, we bless him. Now, here's the real kicker. Say this. Jesus, I thank you for these opportunities to love those that don't love me back. Teaching me how to grow up and mature in love. Thank you, Jesus, for the wonder of the grace. Now I ask you, that don't change the people around me. You change me, Jesus. I'll tell you a story real quick in conclusion. There's a prophetic guy, and I don't know how you feel about this guy. I think he has significant credentials and then less so, but whatever case, there's undoubtedly an anointing, and his name is Bob Jones. He undoubtedly has an anointing in his life. And back in the 70s, this prophetic guy named Bob Jones actually died. He actually died and went to heaven. He was sick or something. He had to come back. That's where he got his anointing. And you know what the Lord said to him when he went to heaven? He says, the only thing the Lord said is, did you learn how to love? And then he got to come back. And he's moved in the ministry ever since. But isn't that interesting? That was what he remembered the Lord saying to him. Did you learn how to love? Now what does the scripture say? Faith, hope, and charity, and the greatest is what? And you know how 1 Corinthians 13 says, though I move in all signs and wonders, give my body be burned, say to this mountain. He says, if I have not what? Love. I'm not. And so, guys, the most important thing is to learn how to forgive and release and mature in love. So we thank you, Jesus. We want to be able to, when that time comes, we can say, Jesus, sure, we've learned to love. And the way we learn to love is you allow the unlovely to come in our life. It's easy to love those that love us. It's easy to be friendly to those that are friendly to us. But Lord, teach us to love and grow. Turn the other cheek. Bless those that curse us. Pray for those that despitefully use us. Love our enemies. So shall we be children of our Father. We bless you, Lord. Let this word find deep soil in our life. Root 30, 60, 100 fold in our life, Jesus. In the name of the Lord, I take authority over the demons the accuser of the brethren.
I bind you, Satan. I take your authority. You accusing voice. You subtle, whispering voice that indicts,
that mischaracterizes, that diagnoses, that it puts down, that judges, that impugns, that criticizes. I pick you, spirit, you familiar spirit. I pick you and I hand you in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray, Father, for mercy and grace. Jesus.